So thankful for you that you're here in attendance on Easter Sunday, the greatest day in history. Amen. The stone was rolled away and the tomb is empty and our Savior's risen. So many people to again thank, but just at the beginning, just to make sure that our band worked extra hard to put together the worship this morning. Aren't they a blessing? Yeah, our young people also did their dance and performance, and our children have worked hard also. We're so blessed to have the servants of the Lord in this house. A couple of things I need to tell you about that are real important. Next week, we launch a new series, and it's called Are We There Yet? And it deals with really navigating the road in your life. How many know we need divine guidance at some time? And we make mistakes. We're at a pit stop or maybe a flat tire, like the announcement said, or we're gassing up and we need fuel for the journey. I want to recognize those points in your life that you need God's guidance and His Holy Spirit to navigate you. And so God's navigation system, God's GPS is the best. And so we'll go through a series about our faith and what we have to do to get God's guidance. And I know you'll be blessed, so make sure you come back next week and you'll enjoy that, right? The next one is our fire truck is going to be coming from the Marbach Firehouse. In this area, we've commandeered that with the firemen. I don't know if the dog will show up, but our children will enjoy that. Make sure that you bring your children back, plus their friends, and they'll also be given a great gospel message. And so our children need to be born again in the house of God, right? Amen. So do their friends. So make sure you load up the car with all your children next week in the neighborhood and bring them to the house of God. They'll enjoy it, right, everybody? Yeah. So good. This morning, there's a story I heard. By the way, do you have your message notes? Amen, yes. If you don't, raise your hand high, and we have an usher that will get you those. Oh, I think we're still on a precious lady right here. Could I get another man right there? And a couple of people will take this side. Keep your hand up just for a little bit and wave at them as they come by. You'll need those for the journey that we're about to take. Is that okay with everybody? Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience, our online audience. Come on, let's welcome them. And we're glad that you're here also. First time, second time guest, we're blessed to have you again. Make sure that we meet you in the cafe area. Take a free photo. They're beautiful photographs that we have available for you also. There's this guy, a funny story I heard, and he comes home from work one day, and he sees that his dog has the next door neighbor's rabbit in his mouth, and the rabbit is dead. And the rabbit's all dirty, and the dog, he's looking at him like, what did you do this time? And he said, the neighbor already hates us. What is he going to... So he takes the rabbit out of the dog's mouth, and he washes the rabbit, and he blows, dries the rabbit, fluffs him up. His name's Fluffy anyway. And he says, I have this great idea. I'll put him in the cage again, and it looks like he'll die of natural causes when the owner gets home. So sure enough, he keeps low profile for about a week, and he's out in the backyard looking over, and he hears a neighbor, you know, and he goes, you know, he makes sure that the neighbor hears him, and he goes, neighbor looks over the one with the rabbit, and he goes, hey, did you hear about Fluffy? He goes, no, what happened? He says, yeah, you know, he died in his cage, and then so we buried him in the ground, and the next day, we found him all clean, and somebody had blow-dried him and shampooed him and put him back in the cage. And the owner keeps talking, and he goes, you know, there's some sick people in this world, isn't there? Somebody dug him up. After the crucifixion, no one thought, you'll get that at 3 in the morning, some of y'all. After the crucifixion, no one thought Jesus was going to rise from the dead. But he proved everyone wrong, didn't he? There are many people that claim to be the Savior and the prophet and the one that they follow, their religion. We're the only one that follows Christ, and he did what he said he was going to do. He proved he's not in the grave anymore. And so today, as we celebrate with billions of other people the resurrection, this is our time that we say he is alive and he's living with us and among us now today. This is the foundation of our faith. It speaks of what we're about today. So all over the world, we celebrate with other believers today our resurrection in Christ. Right, everybody? This was the greatest day in history because of what Christ did and through the resurrection. And what's real important is, in spite of that celebration when it happened 2,000 years ago, and what was going on during that time, there was still a lot of skepticism, and there was still a lot of points of even doubt. And I want to address something that's really not spoken a lot about in church, and that's spiritual doubt. You might want to say, where we live, especially where there's a lot of believers, you say, you know, the Bible says it, and it says it, and it's written, then I believe it, and that's enough. And I would tell you, man, more power to you if you're that way, and you don't have a doubt in your heart. But there are many that, you know, that do have doubts, and you wonder, and I'm given to that way because I'm real logical and analytical, and I think through things. And even if I see something or hear about something, I might not show it because I'm a pastor, but I kind of think, you know, maybe the pill did that, or maybe something else. And I'm just being real truthful. Y'all need to pray for me, right? So that's good. I'll pray for you back. No, nah. But we're all, some of us are skeptical, and that's okay. God still uses that, and he used the man that we're about to speak of to build his faith. And I'm so glad that you're here, if that's you. And I'm so glad if you're here and you say, man, I believe it because it's all over me, and I can't wait to go win 100 people for Jesus after I leave this place today. So either we need them all, don't we? Yeah. There's a story behind the song Because He Lives that we've made at the centerpiece of our message today. And the song was written in 1971. It's a long time ago, right, for some people in this room? And it was written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. They wrote other songs like Somebody Loves Me and the classic. This is probably their most famous song. And they did it during a time when they were, of course, both younger back in 1971. There was a time of the Watergate scandal was going on. There was assassinations that had been through some political leaders. We had gotten, the economy was bad. There were wars. It was just a terrible, it kind of sounds like today, right? Well, Gloria was pregnant with her baby, a baby boy that she was going to have. And as they're walking through and they're having this time that how could we bring a child in? They were Christians, young Christians. How could we bring a child into this world with such an evil time right now, 1971? He said, well, they noticed something as they were early Christian songwriters. They noticed a blade through the grass, through the concrete that had broken through. That blade of grass was going through the concrete that they said, you know what? There's hope because that blade of grass did everything it could to push through that concrete so it could have new life. And the message of Easter was even born at that time because it was saying God can still rise and come through in your moment of difficulty when there's hard things pressing you down, when there's things that say you're not going to make it, new life wants to spring forth. Right, everybody? I'm going to give you three truths today about your destiny, about your purpose today, because he lives today. Amen. Number one is this, because he lives, I can face. You'll need to help me out with the hard ones. Come on, the notes are there. You have cheat notes to do. When we think of the Lord's disciples, we often think that words go along with them. Peter was known as Peter, the guy that denied Jesus three times. But Peter was also known as Peter the rock, right, everybody? And Judas was known as this guy that also sold out Jesus, he betrayed, but he's known as Judas Iscariot, right, everybody? When I was in Bible college and we were having like this deliverance, somebody was going through this oppression, all Bible college boys, we were all laying hands on this, and they always taught me this in my church, that if you closed your eyes, that devil wouldn't jump into you, so you had to keep your eyes real closed as you were casting out devils. Well, this one, we're praying, I don't know where he got this from, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. He yelled out when he's casting out this devil. He said, Iscariot! But I don't want to blow the sound system. He yelled out Iscariot. And I thought, man, I was Iscariot. I was scared because he was the way he was shouting. And John, the beloved, the youngest disciple, he was known as the one that was near Jesus, right? And then finally, this guy named Thomas, and poor Thomas, he's like in this, he's like 12 scriptures. And he's known as, you got that right. Thank you, guys. I need 100%, but next time we'll get the rest of you. His life shows me that if you begin with doubt, even spiritual doubt, that you don't have to end up that way, that you can become a strong believer, that you can be believing in Jesus' words. And so from the weakest to the strongest, from the skeptic to the one that's full of faith, we're going to look at today. The context of our scripture that we're about to read right now, Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's shown himself to a couple of people, select people, but still the disciples haven't seen him. And then I look at John 20, 24 on the big screen. Are you with me today? Yes, a couple of you, one person. Thank you, Jesus, for that one person. He said, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which is, he was T. Diddy by theologians. He was the first rapper of the New Testament. He was one of the 12. Yeah, come on, help me out, guys. You know how tough it is up here, amen. And when he was with the, he was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. I find that kind of funny. You know when you were a kid, how you would say you got to see something and your buddy wasn't with you, or your little gang of five or whatever y'all ran with. You would tell him, man, guess what happened while you were on vacation, or guess what happened while you were at home, and you would be willing. And this is what these guys aren't really growing up. They're saying, look, you missed out big time. But another thing that I saw with Thomas, do you see this with me right now as I paused, is that Thomas wasn't in church, and because he wasn't in church in that gathering, he missed Jesus, and he missed the presence of Jesus. Do y'all recognize that? Amen. Yes. And so when you miss church, you're going to miss out on a whole bunch. Amen. Yes. And so I haven't seen some of you guys here since Christmas, and so you missed a whole lot of church, and we missed you. And Thomas missed church, and he missed the proof of Jesus. So when you miss church, man, you miss out. Do you understand that today? Don't miss out on Jesus. Let me continue to read. And so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. And he said this to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not. Yeah. And so there's something about secondhand faith that is a zero, zilch, that we can't have in this room, that I want to encourage you not to have. Well, you can't have your grandma's faith or your daddy's faith. There's something about firsthand experience. Somebody shout firsthand. Firsthand. And that's what Thomas had. He had secondhand experience. He was hearing a report. He was hearing, well, he's alive and he's risen. And go. But there's nothing like, see, God doesn't have grandchildren, they say. He doesn't have cousins. He doesn't have great-grandchildren. He has sons and daughters firstborn. And so you're born again, you become, I can't live on you and your spiritual experience. You can't live on pastor's spiritual experience or your brother's. You got to have your first, you got to have the experience of God in your life today, right? It's great to have a heritage of faith that you came from it, but God is the only one that can provide that firsthand. You're born again from him. He's your father, right, everybody? I believe that Thomas had a little bit of pride. You know, I gave up all this. I did all this. Why didn't he show himself to me also? He could have made, after all I've done for him, I walked with him 3 years. He had a little bit of rejection probably on him. Like he didn't come to me. Why did he leave me out? And so all these things were causing him to doubt today. I'd love to say that we can live because we can face tomorrow even in spite of that, because of unity that we have in the body at Living Faith, in the local church, or the church worldwide. In Psalms 133 on the big screen or on your handout, let's read it together. You haven't had any fun all day, Living Faith, out loud, not out soft, on three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Right, everybody? You were meant for community. You were meant that people would be with you. You weren't to live in a cave. Amen. And I didn't know you were showing up, but this is the way the Holy Ghost gave it to me. So I'm just telling you the way the Holy Ghost gave it to me. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. If I would have known you were coming, I would have wrote it differently. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. So this scripture is talking about that family unity, that it's not perfect because no family's perfect, but that you would have that love towards each other. And you know how families start to look like each other, a husband and wife that have had that 50-year anniversary, they begin to look, man, y'all look just alike because you've gotten so close in family. Junior looks like daddy eventually, right, everybody? And she looks like mama or whatever it might be there. There's a resemblance. He's this, he's that. He comes from that family today. Have you ever had, they talk the scripture like it's harmony. It's like a well-sung song that you enjoy. hearing. Have you ever heard a song sung and it's great and then somebody else sings it and it's not so great because of the way they sang it? Doesn't it mess it up? Like, man, dude, why'd you have to sing that song? I used to think of it. Now I think of you singing it and it's ugly, right? Am I the only one being honest, right, everybody? My wife, by the way, is serving in the nursery, and so she's going to have to pull up the car so I can get out of here because I told somebody they couldn't sing today. When we have the body of Christ, and when we come together in the hope of the world, which is still the local church, it's the hope of the world. It's better than the White House. It's better than the mayor, house, city council. The local church brings evangelism to a community. It brings hope to a community that nothing else can today. It's resurrection faith, and that's why I believe in the local church today. The community built this church. Did you know that? The community of faith. You, living faith. People that aren't here built it. They wanted it built. There was somebody across the street in our neighborhood that wanted a church built that would be a lighthouse for the community, and you got it done. If it would have been one guy building this church or that one guy and his family, they would have still been building, but many hands came together and built this house. And it continues to be built because it's just a building, but the building is you, the living stones right in this room. And it's breathing and it's alive. Yesterday we were building some eggs, amen, some eggs with candy, and we're putting them together. And there was a lady baking bread and building that bread so the bread would be served today. There was people getting tacos and serving people and getting the building ready because they knew the community was coming, and they wanted to serve the community and get it ready. Right, everybody? Amen. And that's the beautiful thing. At 10 o'clock at night, I was getting phone calls because they were getting the photo booth was getting ready because they wanted to take your beautiful picture with your family, free photographs at the end of the service because you're here, amen? So people put the house of God together. They cleaned it. They made it right for everybody. Right, everybody? Don't look guilty. You can still serve one day. Give me a good amen. Amen. Just step up, amen? You'll be a blessing. You're better together than you are alone. Amen? Amen? The second thought is this. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And Thomas knew that Jesus died completely. And the reason why I speak of fear is because, man, if you see somebody die and then they're alive again, it's only natural. See, I saw my dad die, and we buried him years ago, and if Dad came to lunch at the Nava home this day, it would freak me out. Do you understand that? I would be happy because I miss him, but Dad, you are dead. I think that would be a depends moment for Nava, right? Thomas is still doubting, but he wants to investigate, man, and that's some hope, and that's where you need to grab a hold of the scripture and say, I'm not going to reject this thing totally. I'm going to investigate, and I'm going to come close, and look what happens to him in John chapter 20, verse 26 in your hand. And a week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas came back to church. Look at him, all right? Isn't that good, right? Thomas was with them, and though the doors were locked, when you lock something, it means you don't want somebody to come in, right, everybody? Jesus came through, and that is such an incredible moment to me, because can you imagine walking through? It blows the sensory perception of that. Thomas has, I got to touch him, I got to see him, but I believe it happened like this. It was like a special effect. Sound effects and all. And there he is. Jesus is walking through a wall or a door that's locked. And he sees him, and Jesus, look what he says. He says, and though he stood among them, this is the Nava translation, right? He said, peace, y'all. He said, oh, peace be with you, right? And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. He knew exactly what Thomas had said before. God's all-knowing. He loves you. He remembers everything you say, even in doubt. Amen. Not to blast you, but to bless you, right, everybody? I remember when you cursed me. No, I'm going to come back with a blessing now. That's the sort of Savior that we serve. See my hands. Reach out for my hands and put it in my side and stop doubting. And he addresses it full on and tough love right there, but he loves him. God cares about you personally. Amen. And he'll address you at your point of very doubt, weakness. He wants to come to that area of habitual destruction that's come into your life, that weakness that you have in people or whatever it might be, or that skepticism, and say, right there, I'm going to meet you if you'll let me. Yeah. If you'll keep pursuing me, I'll come at you. And I'll love you. I'll be relentless towards your love. Yeah, you can clap to the Lord. Amen. And so all fear is gone today. Amen. Because the Savior loves you very personally. And He's a personal God. There's this pastor that is worldwide. He's really not much on television, but every pastor knows about his success. He's a humongous church. And if I mentioned his name, you would know who he is. He's written several bestsellers and all that. He had a moment that shattered him like it would have shattered anybody. He and his wife, several years ago, lost their son to suicide. The son had suffered through depression, mental illness, and at 27 years of age, that son committed suicide. And of course, that pastor took a sabbatical, as any man would. It was heart-wrenching. He couldn't serve it. But he came back, and he came back even stronger. And they asked him, how do you do it? How do you come back now and serve after you've seen what you've seen and went through what you went through in your own family? He says a few words. He says, I do it because of Easter. I can do it because of Easter. See, the first day, that Good Friday, Jesus was being beat and he was being whipped and he died. The second day, he was in the tomb and it was dark and it was confusion and we were hiding. Yeah. But the third day, there was joy because he rose and we recognized that. And he said, that's how life is. You go through disappointments, you go through heartbreaks, you go, where my dreams are gone now. You go through that doubt and confusion day two. But on the third day, there's joy. There's a victory. You just got to stay in the cycle of God. We're all going to go through that. I can cry with you. You can cry with me. But we're all going to go through disappointment. Your hope is Easter today. And sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes we're in the mountaintop. But that's okay. You're getting through if you're in the valley. You're going to have your Easter. It's going to celebrate one day. And if you're in that valley, I can tell you you're coming out of that. It's going to happen because if you allow God's hand to be on your life today, the answer is still Easter. Because he lived, all fear is gone today. When I planned the service and I was diligent this week to study and prepare, I realized at this very moment that I planned to have a prayer for you and just a blessing for you. Just in the middle of the sermon, on the live online audience, you can do this and participate also with us today. I want you to just extend your hands and just extend them in front of your lap like this. I want to bless you with this scripture, the next scripture that's on the big screen. You'll have it later. You can bless your children with it. It's a benediction. It's at the end of Romans. But I wanted to give you this about fear being gone. Receive this blessing right now. Everyone in the house, put your hands out like you're going to receive something because you are. May the God of hope that fills you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's joyful confidence. There's confidence expectation that God is going to be with you right now. Do you receive that, church? Amen. Amen. God is blessing you with the confidence that you have right now in Him today. There's a bearing of witness that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, stop doubting and believe in me now. Not only believe in me, but believe me. That's what Jesus is saying, because there's a difference right now in that today. The third principle, hey, before you do this last one and fill in the blank, hit your neighbor and say, man, this guy's good. Because he's almost finished. You can finish it. It's all right. Because he lives, he holds the future. Jesus met Thomas right at his place of doubt. And he doesn't depend on the sense knowledge, like I got to see him. Revelation explodes in his spirit. Look at the scripture with me in John 20, 28. It's still okay to read the Bible in church, right, everybody? And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Would you say that with me? My Lord, my God. Do you see how personal that is? It's not my mama's Lord. It's not pastor's Lord. It's not the bishop's Lord. It's my Lord. Somebody say, my Lord. My Lord. And my God. And Jesus told them, because you've seen me, you've believed. That's an encouragement, yeah. But look at this. This is you. This is giving you a piece of the pie today. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet. What? one day your faith, one day your faith that you're seeing the invisible, that you're seeing God's hand, one day that faith is going to come to fruition. And you're going to see all that, you're going to see the loving face of Jesus. You're going to see all that you've read about heaven, one day, amen, one day, it's all going to come. But blessed are those that don't see right now and still believe. And you have the Word of God and you believe the Word of God because the Word is God and God is the Word. Do you understand that? And we go to the next level. You know, angels admire you. The very courts of heaven admire you because of your faith that you have today. Hearing comes because not we see it, because we hear the Word of God. And faith rises because we speak to each other and we encourage each other in God. And if you have to encourage yourself, you tell yourself the Word and you encourage yourself. Now, if all you're doing is at home watching television, that's good. But make sure that you turn it off every now and then or watch Christian television at least so the Word is getting spoken into you today. Encourage yourself. It's enough depression to make you get a job if all you're doing is watching TV all day. Give me a good amen. Yeah, there's more to life than that, right, everybody? Jesus becomes more personal here. There's the lordship of Jesus. When Thomas says, my Lord, my God, it's not second generational faith, it's firsthand experience today. The demons believe that Jesus is alive. The Bible says that in James. They shudder at the name of Jesus. They believe in him. Believing Jesus is something completely different. Because it adds traction to you, and it says, I'm going to trust God now with my life. I believe, yeah, demons are going to end up, you know, somewhere. But I want to believe in Jesus, that I'm trusting in him, that I'm leaning into him. And so do you today, right, everybody? And so I'm crazy enough to think right now on Easter Sunday that some of you are going to turn your doubt into faith like Thomas did. I'm just believing, amen, that that will happen. Because he lives, he holds the future. I got a story to tell you as I conclude and bring it in, landing here. In 1969 through 1973, one of the most powerful men in the United States and even the world was this man named Charles Colson. He served Richard Milhouse Nixon in his administration. He was called the Hatchet Man because he was the guy that enforced Nixon's ways in his White House. He ran the White House. He was special advisor to the president, had his right, had his ear. He was also famous because they wanted to get this list from him. He had Nixon's enemy list, but he never turned it over to him. What an enemy list he must have had, right, everybody? Well, everything came crashing down, if you know history, if you were born during that time. It was a terrible time in our country, because a scandal had filled the White House and it led all the way up to the president. There were these guys that were known as the Watergate 7 or Watergate 6. And these guys were the ones that pleaded guilty for obstructing justice. The Watergate, the Republican Party, his administration had gotten into the Democratic headquarters and broken into the office to try to steal secrets so they could win. And everything they could try to get Nixon back into office for a second term, and they were successful. But when it came crashing down and they realized that somebody had broken in, it led back to the White House. All these men pleaded guilty, including the guy with the glasses, kind of with the black hair, kind of looks like me, but a lot older and not as good looking, right, everybody? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? His name was Charles Colson. And what happened with him, when he pleaded guilty in 1974 for obstructing justice, he got years in the federal penitentiary because of what he did. And that was his mugshot when he went in. He served time. He found Jesus in prison. You've heard of jailhouse religion, right? He found Christ. And all the skeptics were saying, well, I wonder if he really did. We'll see when he gets out. And he got paroled and he got out. He began a ministry because he'd been behind bars and he saw the hopelessness of our young men and young women in the penitentiary incarcerated. And it was called Prison Fellowship. And he went back until his death, which was recent, and he would preach the gospel. His ministry began, it stretched borders beyond the United States into worldwide. He would have crusades. All of his bestsellers that he wrote, Born Again, things that he wrote, that bestsellers, he would all give them back to his ministry, and 100% wasn't given to his salary, but to other his ministry to keep it going. He said something interesting in his later years as he pondered about the White House that Nixon had and about what he did to cover up things. And he said, you know, I really thought that was the lowest point in my life because it was political disgrace. All the things he said he did to try to get Nixon to the office, to try to make him president, and try to be a power, they were the most powerful people on the face of the earth, was all something that he wanted to do. And when it all came crashing down and he was about to go to jail, all of those men pled guilty and all of them plea bargained so they wouldn't have the time that they should have had given to them, that they had given to them in prison. And they all sang like canaries. You've heard that, right? They gave up Richard Nixon. And he thought, as now a more mature man in God, when he analyzed the gospel and he thought through it, he said, I think of the 12 apostles that all died horrific deaths. And they weren't a superpower. Rome had occupied them. They were a secondary power. And they were from this unknown really rabbi that was geographical, wasn't worldwide. He had just made an influence geographical in his area. Yet something happened to them so powerful that they were willing not to plea bargain, not to sing like a canary, but to die for their Savior. And I find that incredible, don't you? Deny Christ. I will not deny Christ because I not only saw my Savior live, I saw him die, and then I saw a dead man alive again. And I know that message won't stop. You can kill me, but I'm going to go on. I'm going to live on like he did. And you couldn't kill these guys. And Charles Colson discovered that, how he sang like a canary and he gave up Richard Nixon, but these men would not give up Jesus because of what happened to him. And that's the resurrection faith that you need to have today. I thank God. You know what? It's not going to be this way. Listen to me. It's not going to be this way. Probably you may or may not die for Christ. I know there's a lot of end time preachers, and God bless them, and God, it may happen. But wouldn't you rather live for Jesus? Because that's a lot better than dying for him. Live for Jesus. Believe in him so much that you live and you lead your family in the walk of faith. And it changes your family because of the legacy that you have. Mama in this room, that you're such an example, that you live for faith and you affect generations. Mama Grande. Boy, she was a woman of faith, right, everybody? Amen. That means big mama, right, everybody? Yeah, she was that today. And the faith goes on today because it's okay to die for Christ, but I believe it's much tougher to live a lifetime for Jesus. Amen. And we can do that. So with whole heart, that's why when Thomas was approached, out of all the disciples who walked the farthest, who went the farthest to reach people for the gospel, because I got to give this to somebody that's far away from Jesus, and he did something for me that I got to give away. He walked all the way to India, tradition says. That's a whole long way from Jerusalem, isn't it? He walked the furthest. And when they came to him in a cave that he was hiding out in or being in, for the gospel's sake, they came to him and said, renounce Christ or die. His words, his final words as they speared him were, I will never renounce my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he died for Christ. It's pretty, I don't want to die for Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. How about you? I want to believe in him. And so that's why Paul, who was beheaded also for the cause of Christ, says 2 Corinthians 5:8. Are you there with me? Let's say it out loud because that's what we are today, living faith. 1, 2, 3, go. We are confident, I say. Yeah, boy, you said that humbly, amen. What can you do with a guy that even if you take his life, would go, you know what, I'm going to keep living for Christ today, right, everybody? Would you bow and pray with me at this moment today, church? Our faith is getting louder. And we're building our faith. And thank you because he lives. Because you live, my Jesus, I can.